All right, welcome everybody. This is Mary Craig Ministries and Craig House Christian Fellowship. We're in a series, The Gift of the Holy Spirit. The message today is The Spirit of God in the Old Testament, Part 1. It is September 25th, 2022. I am Dr. Mary Craig. And Stephen, would you open us in prayer?
Holy Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, whose we are and whom we serve. We thank you for the body and blood sacrifice of Christ on our behalf. We thank you for his life of radical obedience, perfect personal perpetual obedience, even to death on the cross. We thank you that he fulfilled all righteousness, even to dying to pay the penalty for sin, redeeming those for whom he died by his blood, the sacrifice of himself. We thank you he brought the reconciliation that overcomes alienation from you, that by this reconciliation we can know you as Father. We thank you that Jesus bore your wrath, bore the curse, bore the sin, and bore the glory. Jesus destroyed the works of darkness, defeating Satan and his kingdom publicly. We thank you, Lord God, for those in Christ were chosen before the foundation of the world, and we are accepted in the Beloved. We thank you that Jesus died, that he was buried, that he rose again from the dead, out from among the dead, and ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of the Almighty. Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords, God the Son, Son of God, ruler over the kings of this earth, and coming again in power and great glory. We thank you for the sending of the Holy Spirit, and we ask that the Holy Spirit come as the Spirit of truth, guiding us into the truth, that he come as the Spirit of wisdom and revelation, revealing Jesus Christ to us and granting us wisdom for the days in which we live. We ask that the Holy Spirit open our eyes to comprehend, understand, and perceive what you have for us today. Open the eyes of our minds and open the eyes of our hearts to receive. Honor our desire to glorify you. We come before you in humility on bended knee with our heads bowed. We pray that we be renewed in the spirit of our minds and put on the new man which was created according to you, God, in true righteousness and holiness, that you would sanctify us by your word and by your Holy Spirit, that we may open our mouths boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ with love, compassion, and grace, that we might love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is in the name of Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. All right. Because of John 7, verse 39, which says, "The Holy Spirit was not yet given because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Many people think those words mean nothing much was going on with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. But these words simply mean that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given in his full administrative authority and that he was not yet publicly manifested here on earth. All believers in every age have been sanctified and comforted by the Holy Spirit. But the ministration of the Spirit, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 8, was not fully introduced in Old Testament times, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with his gifts had not yet taken place. So, today, we want to begin looking at the operation of the Holy Spirit in nature and in grace, in the supernatural gifts conferred upon gifted people, and in the prophecies relating to the Messiah prior to Pentecost. We will begin by considering the testimony to the spirit of prophecy in the books of Moses and in Job. First, we will look at the work of the Holy Spirit in connection with the material creation. Before the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and things which are seen were made out of things which do not appear, Hebrews 11:3, the whole mass of inanimate matter lay in undistinguished chaos, without form and void. Genesis 1, verse 2 tells us that the Spirit of God moved on the face of the waters. The word ruach here denotes a breath, a wind, and also an intelligent thinking being, an intelligent thinking being. Like the title Son of God, the designation the Spirit of God implies distinct personhood and indicates that the Holy Spirit is from God or of God. The word for God here is Elohim. Job 26:13. By his Spirit he garnished the heavens. The Spirit referred to is God's Spirit. He is of the same essence or being with God and from God. The personal Spirit or finger of God and the power of God adorned the heavens and framed them to display the divine glory. Job 33:4. The Spirit of God made me, says Elihu, and the breath of the Almighty has given me life. Again, we have a personal agent standing in a unique relationship with God that is from God but personally distinct. Psalm 104:30. You send forth your Spirit, they are created, and you renew the face of the earth. God gives the animals their food. He hides his face, and they are troubled. He takes away their breath, and they die. He sends forth his Spirit, and a fresh succession of animated beings is created. The Spirit of God is not created or finite, but is the fountain of life. Creation receives from him its renovating and rejuvenating power. Manifold gifts which hold society together are all the workmanship of the Spirit of God. And we're going to get the idea that this is a fragile relationship, so take care. Take care. Secondly, let's think about the Holy Spirit in relation to Adam. In Genesis 2:7, we learn, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Life here is actually plural, lives. Adam was the federal head of the human race. He was made in the image of God. He bore a moral likeness and was placed in a close relation to all the Godhead. Always keep a sense of humor. Genesis 1:26. Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Adam had the divine image and life from the Spirit of life. Adam fell from this estate and plunged humanity into the estate of sin and misery. John Owens noted in 1680 some points relative to Adam. Three things were required to render man fit unto that life to God for which he was made. Number one, he had to have an ability to discern the mind and will of God with respect unto all the duty and obedience that God required of him. Number two, he had to know the nature and properties of God in order to believe him as to the proper object of all acts and duties. Then three, he needed a free, uncontrolled disposition to every duty of the law of his creation for living unto God. He also had to have an ability of mind and will with a readiness of compliance in his affections in order to perform his duties and abstain from sin. Adam had those things which belonged unto the integrity of his nature and with the uprightness of the state and condition wherein he was made. All of these things were the peculiar effect of the immediate operation of the Holy Spirit. Adam, John Owen wrote, may be said to have had the Spirit of God in his innocence in the peculiar effects of the power and goodness of the Spirit of God. He had the Holy Spirit according to the tenor of the covenant of creation, also known as the Adamic covenant, also known as the covenant of works. Owens wrote that Adam had the Holy Spirit not by some special inhabitation, because the whole world was then the temple of God. In the covenant of grace, founded in the person and on the mediation of Christ, it is different. It's different. John Owen said in 1680, "On whomsoever the Spirit of God is bestowed for the renovation of the image of God in him, he abides with him forever." So, man was originally, though mutably, meaning he could change, replenished with the Holy Spirit. The first man figured the second man. Romans 5, 12 to 14. The Holy Spirit was withdrawn because of sin. Jesus is the healer and restorer of the forfeited inheritance. Only on account of the everlasting righteousness which Christ brought in can a person now receive the Holy Spirit and become the habitation of the Spirit, the temple of God. Habitation meaning the place where the Holy Spirit dwells. So the Holy Spirit dwells in every believer. And every believer is the temple of God, or the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit. So watch where you take him. Yes. By Genesis 6, verse 3, we learn, "My Spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh." A time of forbearance was coming to a close. The Spirit of Christ, speaking by Noah, was about to leave that corrupt generation to its doom. The Spirit of Christ, who filled and moved all the prophets, had their testimony in Noah, but no repentance came. 1 Peter 1:11 and 1 Peter 3:19. Abraham was called a prophet and therefore had the Holy Spirit, Genesis 20, verse 6. In fact, the three patriarchs, the first fruit and root of the covenant people, Romans 11, verse 16, had the spirit of prophecy. We see the same gift in Joseph. Pharaoh himself testified, "Can we find such a man as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God is," Genesis 41, verse 38. Moses also was raised up and qualified by the Spirit of God for the work to which God called him. The Lord said, when 70 elders were appointed to bear rule with Moses, "I will take of the Spirit that is upon you and put it upon them." Numbers 11, verse 17. That served to accredit their commission. Joshua was said to be a man in whom was the Spirit, for Moses had laid his hands on him. Numbers 28, verse 18, and Deuteronomy 34, verse 9. Many times in the Old Testament we read of the Spirit of God coming upon people in a supernatural way, in order that they might be equipped for official service. The miraculous gifts were but a sign and might be withdrawn, while the spirit of life remained. The same spirit of faith and the same new nature were always found in a remnant. And by the way, one of the names of the Holy Spirit is Spirit of Faith. And this is from George Smeaton. "The presence of the Spirit appeared in the drops from heaven accompanying the Sinai covenant, which, with its sternness and shadows, was a mode of administering the covenant of grace. Psalm 68, verse 8. We see the work of the Holy Spirit in inspiring Moses to write the Torah. We see the Holy Spirit's work in the theophanies, that appearances of God or Christ. They call them theophanies. And when the voice of the Lord came to this one or that one, the voice of the Lord, we see the whole, or sometimes it says, and the word of the Lord came to so-and-so, the word of the Lord. And Jesus Christ is the Word made flesh. We see the Holy Spirit as comforter in Nehemiah 9, verse 20, and Isaiah 63, verse 11 and 14. We see the Holy Spirit upon the members of the Sanhedrin, Numbers 11, verses 16 and 17, until quenched, until the Holy Spirit was quenched. The Holy Spirit prompted true prayer, inspired spiritual worship, and produced his fruit in the lives of believers then as much as he does now. Zechariah 4:6. We have the same spirit of faith. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. A.W. Pink said this in 1970. He wrote an excellent book on the Holy Spirit. All the spiritual good which has ever been wrought in and through men must be ascribed unto the Holy Spirit. The Spirit was given to the Old Testament saints prospectively as pardon of sin was given in view of the satisfaction which Christ was to render unto God, unquote. So that's before Christ came, people looked forward and believed in the Messiah to come. And Jesus was not on the earth that many years, really. And then now we look back in a way and say Jesus is the divine Messiah. That's who he is. And so either way, they believed in the divine Messiah. Okay. So we can compare Deuteronomy 32:12 with Isaiah 63:14. We can also compare Isaiah 6:8-9 and Acts 28 verses 15-16. And I'm just going to let you look this up on your own and discover interesting things. And this message will be put up on marycraig.org. Coming soon. The Holy Spirit is holy. He is the Spirit of Holiness. That's another name of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Holiness. Exodus 15, verse 11, Romans 1, verse 4. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. Hebrews 9, 14, Psalm 139, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 and 11. Luke 1, verse 35. Jesus was the child of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has absolute sovereignty and supremacy. Matthew 4, verse 1, John 3, verse 8, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 11, Acts 13, verses 2 to 4, Acts 20, verse 28. He is sovereign. He sovereignly dispenses the gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. As he wills. And we must understand the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have one God in three distinct persons. And they are all in unity, in agreement. One God in three persons. Works are ascribed to the Holy Spirit here that demonstrate his Godhood. There is a real long list. So, let's see. I'll just read a few. Job 26, verse 13. Isaiah 40, verses 13 to 15. 2 Peter 1, verse 21. Matthew 1, verse 20. It just goes on and on. 2 Timothy 3, 16, etc. And Romans 8, 11. That's just a sampling. At regeneration, the Holy Spirit restores abilities in the souls of God's elect that were lost by Adam's sin, an ability to discern the mind and will of God, a free and uncontrolled disposition to every duty of the law of his creation for living unto God. See, in salvation, we are justified. It's a one-time act. And God does that. In sanctification, he chooses whomsoever he chooses. It's by the will of God. And there you are. And then in sanctification, though, we do have a choice. We can either cooperate, or as I say, get with the program, because the Holy Spirit is going to sanctify us. We will be separated unto God. And the Holy Spirit is kind of sifts and sorts, see? And whatever is not pleasing to God, whatever is not pleasing, is going to go. I mean, you can either cooperate with how it all is to be, or you can resist and make your life difficult. And that's the way it is. Because if you try to really resist, the Holy Spirit is very creative at getting people into a place and position where they stop resisting. So better to know the Word of God and cooperate. To know you, and you can know. You can know. You keep studying the Word of God. It's the same thing. It's the Word of God and prayer. And you can ask, when you read the Bible, you can ask, well, what does this mean? Or, Lord, I don't get it. What does this mean? And open the eyes of our mind, open the eyes of my mind to comprehend, to figure this out. How does this work? Because when a new believer starts out and they realize, oh, I'm in Christ now, and people tell them all this stuff, you know, and they are not looking to have the mind of Christ and the heart of the Holy Spirit in order to do the will of God. A lot of times, they look at it as, here, I want to set my own destiny, and God, I want you to do fill in the blank. It doesn't work that way. It does not. And so our lives don't go as well. We want to find out what God wants. Now, is that always easy? No, it's not. It's not always easy. Because it's a lot of times, it's a whole different way of thinking. Like when Jesus said to Peter, Peter goes, oh no, that shouldn't happen, that's just wrong. Matthew 16, that's putting it in modern language. And Jesus said to Peter, basically, like, get behind me, Satan. You're thinking like a man. You're not thinking like God. So at that point, with those words, which were well-meaning, they were well-meaning, their intent. Oh, no, you know, may that never be, blah, blah. He was an adversary to Jesus. And so Jesus calls him a Satan. Like, you're an adversary. And so what was Peter really trying to do? He wasn't trying to tempt the Lord to do evil. But essentially, that's what was going on. And so then Peter is going to be, Satan marches right in there, in probably the divine court or the court of accusation or whatever. And so Jesus says, Satan has demanded to sift you like wheat, but I have prayed for you. And when you turn back, I have prayed for you that your faith not fail. And when you turn back, go and strengthen your brethren. And that's what happened. And that when you turn back is not the kind of salvation like repentance, an initial repentance. It's kind of like when this is over, when you get through this, go and strengthen the brethren. And then in John 21, that's what happens, because Peter, you know, he fails miserably, but Jesus restores him through the commandment, feed my sheep, you know, and he restores him through the commandment. It's a commandment, is life. All right. And where are we here? Well, I'll just go back to this. At regeneration, the Holy Spirit restores abilities in the souls of God's elect that were lost by Adam's sin, an ability to discern the mind and will of God, a free and uncontrolled disposition to every duty of the law of his creation for living unto God, and an ability of mind and will with a readiness of compliance in his affections for a regular performance of all duties and abstinence from all sin, all of which were the peculiar effects of the immediate operation of the Holy Spirit. This refers to spiritual knowledge. See Colossians 3, verse 10, and Genesis 2, 19 to 23. Finally, many today say that the Holy Spirit was never in any believer before Pentecost. That's not so. But if we look at Numbers 27, verse 18, Nehemiah 9, verse 30, and 1 Peter 1, verse 11, along with Isaiah 63:10 and Acts 7, verse 51, we have an answer. Do we have the same spirit of faith? As Old Testament people? 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13. Do we have the same spirit of faith? So the Holy Spirit was active. The Spirit, A.W. Pink says, quote, "The Spirit was given in the Old Testament saints prospectively, just as I said earlier, as pardon of sin was given in view of the satisfaction which Christ was to render unto God," unquote. Okay, and this is the end of this message. So let's pray. Father God, we come before you now, and we thank you for your word. Help us, Lord. We ask that your Holy Spirit motivate us to be in the Word of God, to study, to show ourselves as people approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, Lord. And we ask, Holy Spirit, you have a wonderful way of teaching us through your word. And we know as we go through life, you have a wonderful way of something you want us to learn or know. We'll see it everywhere. And we'll see it everywhere as we're going through the days of our lives at that point. And we'll see it everywhere in the Bible. We'll see that there are patterns and there are teachings in the Bible that go from Genesis to Revelation, all through the Bible. And we thank you for that because you also say to remember, 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 and remember the Lord your God. And so, God, grant us the grace. Grant us grace that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And now if you'd stand for the benediction.
Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of the peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.